I'm ball out.
Radio.
AQ only goes to every major league.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah.
America.
Yes, sir.
We're kind
of
quiet.
A lot of lollygagging. Let's go.
We don't know if
it's been too long.
So I'm kind of like,
back like we never left.
That's right. And,
sorry for the
three-week
vacation, America.
Yeah, we're back.
Yeah, we are back. Unlike my co-host, we're not giving dap while people are on the bench, man. We're not doing that, man. We're gonna keep it going. We're gonna, we're not gonna be like J.R. Smith. We're gonna stay focused for the whole episode. But everyone said, we're back after a little 3-week delay, some challenges, and some vacation. But we are officially back to talking sports with the 12 men. This year is flying by, gentlemen. We are officially heading into December, but yeah, man, today is still the 30th. We're going to still wrap up November. I am Andre, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. JQ. Let's check in with him. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, you know I'm doing good. Got some good news yesterday with the rankings. I'm ready to go.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And we're going to check in with Rob Ford. He's probably going to give us what he ate or something like that. But yeah, Rob Ford, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Nothing fancy today. You know, just a little grilled chicken and broccoli. Boring stuff.
So, yeah,
but all
is well.
I'm glad to be back.
Did you break out the Ramelot sauce today on them, did you?
No, not today.
Chicken.
Yeah. Next week might be ready for you.
there you go.
Man, we got a lot of things to discuss. So, gentlemen, it's been a minute, but, there's so much I wanted to talk about, but we'll have to kind of look at the topics ahead, but we'll get caught up as we always do. But like we talk about, if you want to call into the show, the number that finally worked, 424-243-9519, that's the way to reach us. We are still on Twitter. That didn't drop in on – if you go to the number – if you go – put the hashtag at 12manSports. You'll find us in that regard. And last but not least, finally on Facebook, facebook.com/12manSports. Or if you put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us on that arena. So, man, we have a lot of things to talk about. JQ said he's in a good mood. The rankings came out. So let's talk about the Big Six bowl predictions. Rob, let's kick it off with you, sir.
All right. Yeah. Well, obviously, let's start with the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, the 1 versus number 4, the 1 Alabama versus the number 4 seed in Washington. The Fiesta Bowl, JQ's number 2 seed, Ohio State against number 3 seed, Clemson down in the Phoenix, Arizona area. Orange Bowl,
with that one.
Florida State, Michigan, JQ's second favorite team, Michigan.
Yeah, whatever. Got it. Keep going.
In the Orange Bowl. Cotton Bowl, another Big Ten team. Penn State against Western Michigan.
Man,
Rose,
come on, Ryan.
Bowl. Rose Bowl. Another Big Ten team. Wisconsin against Colorado. In the Sugar Bowl, but not least, in the Big Easy, Sugar Bowl, Auburn versus Oklahoma.
Oh, we was 5-6, Rod. We was 5-6. That's crazy. I only got one difference in there. You were close. I think that's – I got everything exactly the same except for I think USC is going to get the nod in the Rose Bowl.
That was a tough choice. Yeah, you could be right on that one because I was actually going back and forth between those two. And USC is playing as good as any team in the country right now. It's just they got off to a rough start, but it's a good thing that
Pasadena.
Yeah,
and it's playing in Pasadena. If you think they're not going to pick USC over Colorado and it's being played in Pasadena,
Well,
I don't believe that.
Crazy as this may sound, a lot of times these bowl games, they like out-of-town teams because they're going to come in and spend more money. locals are not going to come in. So most of the time, bowls prefer to bring in out-of-town teams into their cities because they're going to be tourists and they're going to come in and spend more money in your city.
Yeah, but you got a lot of Trojan fans in that area. I got to feel like – I hear what you're saying. It's a sound argument, but only because of California and their buying power and the USC brand and tradition. Like, at Pasadena, that's their home stadium, I believe, is Pasadena.
No, that's UCLA's home stadium, but still it's their backyard, absolutely.
Okay. Right. So you still got a lot of alumni there, and, you know, and California is so big. I think California might be the one place where that theory may not always hold true. But I agree, that is a good theory because they are going to travel and spend money to stimulate local economy. That's true. But that's pretty good though, considering that we were like 5 out of 6.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were off by one team.
Now the bowl, if their best choice is a team in their backyard, they're going to take that team in their backyard. But I do know they normally like to bring, they normally would prefer a team from out of town because they're going to come and spend more money.
I can see that.
Anything else you want to add to that, JQ?
I'm sorry. I was ready to talk college football. I was amazed that we were that
good,
close. We were only off by one team out of the 6 bowls. We had everything exactly the same except for one team in that 6 bowls. So it was like 5.5, really. That's pretty scary. We might be spending too much time together.
Yeah. And I went back and forth on that Colorado-USC in a row. So, I mean, that could very well be the case.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know.
And I think USC is playing better than Colorado right now, too.
I do, too.
The last couple of weeks, I know we haven't had a chance to talk, but, you know, the shakeup of Louisville, you know, getting waxed by, you know, Houston. Mm. And there's always bring something a smile on my face whenever Bobby Petrino loses, man. So that was kind of one of those happy moments for me. But, you know, just seeing how it kind of shook up everything. And then obviously you're seeing Washington and a couple of things that happened, man. And, you know, Ohio State still scoring on Michigan, even though it's a lot of controversy, but great games definitely came. I know, I owe, man, but it's interesting to see how everything played out.
Yes, sir.
So it's good, and we'll see how it definitely comes into play. So we'll talk about that, and we'll keep it going because we got a lot of things to discuss. All right. There's been a lot of movement, and it's interesting how Rob didn't mention anything about some coaching moves that happened at Orgeron. So I know you kind of we'll let you talk about that. I don't know if that's because you're upset or happy, but you know, we'll talk about that. Who's gonna be Oregon's next coach? And there's been a lot of dominoes that kind of fell, and I'll give my predictions. But what do you think about this, JQ, as far as who's gonna be Oregon's next head football coach?
You know, it's hard because Oregon has such money with Phil Knight and that Nike brand as a booster, which you just can't do anything against that as any other program. But they don't have a natural recruiting base in Oregon. They've got to recruit out of California. They've got to recruit out of Texas. So you don't have a base really by your state or even by your city to recruit out of. So I'm not sure how great of a job it is. Like PJ Fleck.
That's a great
Western
job.
Michigan, he's leaving.
Great
He's going somewhere. It is what it isn't, because if you get USC back, you're going to go back also to being an also-ran. So, I mean, yes and no. Oregon kind of filled the vacuum when USC got hit with the sanctions, right? And then, so with Oregon on one side and Stanford on the other, if USC comes back, then it's going to hurt them a whole lot. Don't get me wrong. They got a lot of money behind the program, but they don't have a natural recruiting base of talent in Oregon. They have to go out of state to go get it, which always makes it harder. So, for me, that's what I think it's a step up, obviously, for Fleck from Western Michigan to Oregon. I think Fedora in North Carolina with all that Nike money, I think he would. And then, just outlandish, why don't Chip Kelly and Oregon just get back together? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we was tripping, and you like that dude, and I like this chick, but we should probably just get back together because that's what was working. Like, they got to at least talk about it, don't they? Like, they got to have a conversation about it. So that's my dark horse. With the other two, I can see going in, they have more of a spread kind of offense that would fit in the Oregon traditional sense of what they've been doing since Chip Kelly.
Rob?
Well, just for the record, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. You guys brought up LSU, so I'm going to go ahead and answer your question. Actually, I am happy about the hiring of Ed Orgeron, by the way. And sometimes you have a guy that's a perfect fit, and I think he's a perfect fit for what LSU needs at the moment. And I think it'll be even better if, you know, what all the rumors are saying, he's going to get Lane Kiffin to come to Baton Rouge. So I think that'll be even better. And then you lock up Dave Aranda for you know, to make him the highest paid defensive coordinator in college football too. So if he's able to get Lane Kiffin, that's icing on the cake. Now, here's the thing about Lane Kiffin. I think Lane Kiffin is going to be a strong candidate for this Oregon job. And JQ also mentioned Chip Kelly. I think Oregon definitely gets on the phone and at least talk with them and engage his interest. So I definitely think Chip Kelly is going to be in the conversation with this particular job. I think Lane Kiffin is going to be in this particular job. Lane Kiffin won't be back at Alabama, that's for sure. So he's either going to be in Oregon or he's going to be at LSU. And
Why would he not be back at Alabama? Am I missing the report?
He's not going back to coach for Nick Saban. That's pretty much a done deal. You heard it here first. He won't be back in Alabama. He's either going to be in Oregon or he's going to be in LSU. He and Ed Orgeron are extremely close. And so I know LSU is going to open up the pocketbook for him. But that's if he does not get the head coaching job at Oregon. Another guy to mention with his Oregon job is Scott Frost. He was the offensive coordinator for Oregon for quite a few years. Head coach at Central Florida. He turned around that program, went from 0 wins to 6 in one season. So I think he's going to also be in the conversation for the Oregon job. So those are the three guys that I can think of that will probably be in the conversation for Oregon: Chip Kelly, Scott Frost, and Lane Kiffin.
Hold on. Wait a minute, though, Dre. I got to ask the question, though. Isn't that, at best, a lateral move? And if you really want to be honest, Lane Kiffin has his whole coaching rehab due to Nick Saban. Like, if Nick Saban don't pull him off the street and put him part of that juggernaut and help him rehab his image, Lane Kiffin don't get another job, period, as a head coach. But he may be somebody's offensive coordinator. I just don't know, unless they just have had words, like, why would you move from Alabama to LSU to do the same role? Oregon, I guess, would be a head coach in the Nike money, but why would you move laterally within the SEC West to go from rival Alabama to LSU in the same job when Nick Saban has basically put you back on the pedestal? That piece of it, I don't know, unless, like I said, unless you know something where they've had words and they just don't get along and they're just done with each other, that could be possible too. But I'm not going to say they don't get along.
But I think he's ready to move on. Let's just go with that. And okay. I think it's more of his relationship with Ed Orgeron, so that it comes more down to that than it does, I think, do with anything with Nick Saban. They've not only coached together in Tennessee, they've coached together with USC. They've been together for quite some time, and supposedly they're very close professionally and personally as well. Okay. So it has more to do with his relationship with Ed Orgeron. If he doesn't get a head coaching job, but he won't be back at Alabama.
Hey, I can go with that. I just, on the outside looking in without knowing that, I'm like, why would you do that? It's just it's a lateral move in the same division. But if that's the case, I know they were friends. I know how close they were friends. So if that's the case, I can see that happening. I mean, those are like extra, you know, not regular circumstances. So, okay, I can go with that. I'm sorry, Dre. I just had to ask.
No, you're fine. I mean, like I said, I mean, just to kind of – I'm a little different. I think Oregon's a great job. I mean, I think, you know, nationally, I mean, you're not going to get, like, the big, like, hosses like USC, but maybe you'll get those smaller, faster athletes, man, you know, that may fit that style too. So, you know, it's still – you know, you're going to get people on the West Coast. You're going to get people on nationally. So it's a better job than we think. I mean, it's not a Texas job or a USC, but it is a good job, I think, from that perspective too.
I would never say it's a bad job. I would never say it was a bad job, so to speak. But if you talk about in terms of a footprint and how many years behind it they have, like Oregon's a relatively new kind of program where they've jumped up and it was the cool uniforms and this, that, and the other. But they aren't somebody that's been great since like 1918. You know what I'm saying? Like they recently just got there. So they're not a blue blood, so to speak. But I'm not saying it's a bad job, but they're not a blue blood. They just don't have a natural – recruiting base is what I was saying. It's still a good job. So if I put that there where you thought I was saying that, I think it's still a good job.
Here's the difference when you compare Oregon with a USC. USC has talent in their backyard, full of 4 and 5 star recruits, and those guys will go to USC and play as a true freshman. Oregon will go down to California, maybe steal one or two four-star players and a lot of three-star players, and those guys will go to Oregon and redshirt and they'll develop it. And whereas those four and five stars go to USC and play as a true freshman. And so, I mean, that's the difference. You're getting a slightly less graded player to go to Oregon, and they're going to redshirt them and develop them before they hit the field. But USC is getting those guys to play right away just because of the talent level. And so that's the difference that you're getting between the two jobs. And there's no talent base there in Oregon. And so, as JQ mentioned, so the recruiting base, you got to pick your spots around the country, and particularly they've been able to steal a few players here and there in Hawaii and California and Texas and things like that, but they're not going to pull in the number of stud recruits like a USC will pull in.
Right, and that's why I say I put them that job a little lower, even though it has the Nike money, which should give it a better advantage, but just where it is. To those points that me and Rob talked about. That's all I'm saying. So it's still a good job. They should still get a good coach on the Nike money alone. It's the Nike money alone, they'll get a coach.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they're going to have cool uniforms and everything like that. I'm with you. Not to, like, hammer the number two. I'm going to say really quickly, I know we haven't had a chance to talk, and we're so far behind here, so many things got to talk. I just want to say, too, that, you know, from my perspective, I think that I really – this is Rob. This is just me in America just kind of shooting it out there. I think that – you know, I think LSU made a call to Jimbo. Jimbo's like, hey, you know, I'm kind of happy with Florida State. What's the money like? It didn't really fit.
Yep.
So he stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, what happened was, you know, everything happened with, you know, Texas, and Tom Herman made that move. And then, you know, LSU's like, hey, we'll keep it as is, and we'll kind of go from there too. So that's kind of where I think kind of what happened with – I think the call was made to Jimbo, and he was like, hey, I'm kind of happy here. Maybe money didn't kind of jive. And you know, your boy, Bobby Petrino.
Nick Saban.
Yeah.
I'm going to deal with Nick Saban and SEC West. I agree with you, though. I agree with you 100%, but I just agree with the difference. Because LSU was going to open the bank. He was like, deal with Nick Saban every year just to go to the SEC championship? I mean, yeah, no, I'm going to pass. I'm going to wait.
Yeah, you're probably very right about that. But I feel very good about Ed Orgeron. I'll just say that. The guy's been National Recruiter of the Year several times. But he has to have good coordinators. That's the key. He's going to have really good coordinators. And so what LSU is doing, they didn't overpay Orgeron, of course. So they're gonna go out and overpay some assistants. Well, if not overpay, they're going to go out and get the Lane Kiffins. They're going to get the Dave Arandas and get the top-notch assistants to go to the program. And they're going to – obviously, you got a strong recruiting base in the state of Louisiana, so you don't have to go far for talent. And Ed Orgeron is going to take the same philosophy. You know, he was the recruiting coordinator for USC all those years they were winning under Pete Carroll. So he's going to take that same philosophy that they had there. You recruit your best players in state, and you go out and find some first-round picks out of state.
All I know is Rob got on. I got to talk about college football for 18 minutes. That's awesome.
I'm just happy that you can actually understand what Ed Orgeron is saying, I think. But we'll talk about that later.
I'm not going to say I do all the time, but
come on, Dre.
That was bad. But he's a good guy.
Ed Orgeron is going to be extremely happy at LSU. Jimbo Fisher, maybe one day we want to give a shot at the NFL. You don't know with Tom Herman. You got a guy here that if it works, he's going to stay there. You don't have to worry about him leaving.
That's absolutely true. Right, go to the next one. You start talking about
Penn State. I'm sorry. Penn State. Should they be in the college football playoff real quick? I was trying to go quick. What's your thoughts about this, Rob? Should they be in the college football playoff? Uh-oh.
The only way I would give them a shot in the playoffs, obviously, if they win the conference, they should definitely leap over Michigan. That's for sure. But I think the only way to get in the playoffs, I think Clemson or Washington or both of them have to lose in order for Penn State to get in the playoffs. So obviously, Penn State has got to win the conference title. Washington or Clemson or both of them have to lose. I think Penn State, by winning the conference, should automatically leap over Michigan. There's no doubt about that. And
Real quick. So
in my opinion, yes. Yeah, that's the only way to get in. But if they win and Washington wins and Clemson wins, no, they don't get in.
I agree with that. I agree with that last statement. I believe the four that are there now will remain the same if Clemson and Washington win. The only way I think Penn State gets in, it can be messed up, but the only way I think Penn State gets in is if both Clemson and Washington lose so that they are the third Big Ten team in behind Ohio State and Michigan. It's messed up out there. I know what you're going to say. They beat Ohio State. Ohio State still has a better resume, but Michigan has beat Penn State by like 40. So they're not. I don't think they're going to jump Michigan. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think they need pure chaos to get in. They need Clemson and Washington to lose. If they don't lose, they're not in.
Let's spot to these. All right, let's keep going here. Let's talk about these college football predictions here. Number 8, Colorado at Washington. Your call, JQ.
Oh, I'm going with Brown and Ross. They just are ridiculous. Gaskin, running back. And I'm forgetting the other wide receiver that returned the punt against Utah. I can never remember his name. But that Washington offense is serious. Too much for Colorado.
Samuel.
I'm going with Washington.
We're thinking, yeah, no, okay. I think someone else. Go ahead. No. Go ahead. Your thoughts. Go ahead, Rob. It's somebody different, but go ahead. Go ahead, Rob.
I like Washington in this matchup, too. I think I actually thought they were going to have a hard time with Washington State on the road, and I actually thought Washington State had a really, really good chance of winning that Apple Cup over Washington with Luke Falk, and Washington just straight out destroyed them. So maybe USC was a wake-up call for them losing that game, but they've been playing a lot better since then, and so I like Washington to win this game and move on to the playoffs.
It's Pettis. Sorry. It's Pettis and Ross on the outside, not Portis.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Number 10, Oklahoma State. Number 9, Oklahoma. Rob.
I'm going to go with Oklahoma. I know they started off the season tough, but I like them at home in this game. But a little bit closer than what the experts think, I think. But
okay.
I think Oklahoma pulls it off.
Yeah, we're going to have to leave on them. I'm with them. I'm with them. Same reasons, Oklahoma.
Big game, Rob or Bob. I don't trust him. I'll go opposite.
I'm for him. You trust him too? I don't.
Wow, this is a this is going to be a crazy call. Alabama versus Florida.
Oh, come on, next.
Right,
Alabama right. Won't even be close.
Right, the lock of the week. You can't even make no money betting on this game. Yeah,
lock
on.
Of the week. There it is. This is, okay, number 3, Clemson at Virginia Tech. Go ahead, Rob.
I like Clemson, but I think it's going to be a little bit closer. I'm not going to say a 3-point or 7-point win, but I think somewhere around a 10-point victory for Clemson.
Yeah, good call.
Agreed.
JQ. Yeah, okay.
Agreed.
Finally, number 6, Wisconsin at number 7, Penn State. This is an exciting game. Your thoughts, JQ?
For me, it's the battle of the running backs. It's Corey Clement and if Saquon Barkley goes. Saquon Barkley left that game against Michigan State. Got a quick turnaround next week. And so it really depends on that. If Barkley plays, I think Penn State wins. If Barkley doesn't play, I think Wisconsin wins.
Rob?
I've been torn with this matchup. Obviously, out of all of these, it's been the toughest one to predict. But I'm going to go with Wisconsin winning this one in an extremely close game. Wouldn't be surprised if he even goes to overtime.
Yeah.
Good call.
6 versus 7.
All right, gentlemen. Yeah. All right. We got 6 minutes here, 6.5 minutes here. We're making good progress. We are going to fit the fantasy shout-outs in here, too. But let's talk about the top 5 NFL rookies so far. Hopefully we can fit this in before we do and we'll do the coaches afterwards. But I'll let you take this, Rob.
Well, you got to start with Zeke Elliott. Number 1, of course, about 1,200 yards rushing, 11 touchdowns. His team is 10-1. Obviously, he's got a dominant offensive line. But, yeah, I think you have to start with him. Yeah, I think you even have to include him in the MVP conversation, too. Number 2, teammate, Dak Prescott, approaching 3,000 yards passing, 18 touchdowns, only 2 INTs. Same reason again, team 10-1. So, I mean, you got to include him, and, I mean, that's a straight-up steal for the Cowboys to be able to get him where they got him in the draft. JQ, I like this. Another Buckeye at number 3, Michael Thomas, 65 catches,
yeah, sure.
Approaching 800 yards receiving. He's got 7 touchdowns in the season, and he's almost becoming the Saints' number 1 option from a receiver standpoint as a rookie.
Almost.
Yeah, he's almost supplanting Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I was going to say, almost.
Yeah, and number 4, you got Jordan Howard, Chicago Bears, approaching 800 yard rushing. He's only got touchdowns, but he's having a quiet, good season as a rookie. And JQ may like this. I kind of thought this was a bad pick for the Falcons in a draft. I got to put Keanu O'Neill at number 5, 72 tackles on the season. He seems to always be around the football. So I have him at the number 5 spot for the top 5 rookies so far, in my opinion.
I defended that Falcons selection, though. I of course, I have Dak and Zeke, and I can't disagree with the ones he has. But Carson Wentz, I thought Philadelphia was going to be a dumpster fire really to start this year. So props to him as a rookie with not a whole lot of skill set out there, wide receiver, for the most part, and they're young, for at least having Philadelphia in contention. I'm going to go with another OSU. I'm going to go with Conklin. Hey, a Tennessee run game. We all play fantasy. You know what DeMarco Murray is doing? Part of that is Conklin. And the other one is Shepard for the Giants. I know he gets a lot of one-on-one playing outside of OBJ, but he's showing up big for Eli. So can't really argue with Riles either, but just wanted to give those last three guys some love. This has been a pretty good rookie class. I mean, they're just out of control.
Yeah, yeah. And I had Carson Wentz just on the outside looking in number 6. So, but, yeah, and Philadelphia is starting to fall back to where we thought they would be early in the season. They were who we thought they were.
They are who we thought they were.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were getting 6 wins. They 6-5 are still better than when I had them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're 5-6 right now, so don't give them their 6 wins just yet.
Well, 5 is better than what I thought they were going to do.
And, Rob, I got to say, I'm disappointed, man, because your boy, man, you know, Brandon Cooks, man, he couldn't get anything, man. Just a little something for me to win.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
44 points?
It's for 49 saying, points. Man. They didn't even throw the ball to him. Not one time.
Not
the
one
entire
target.
Game.
It was so upsetting.
Not
yeah.
one target.
He played 49 snaps and didn't even get that one target.
Yeah,
that
he killed a lot of people.
I'm just killed. Let's do fantasy shout-outs real quick, Rob, and then we'll set up the OT, and then we'll get ready to talk about some coaches on the hot seat. But go ahead and set up fantasy shout-outs, sir.
Fantasy shout-out, league number 1, the biggest win of the week, Smoking Aces, Will from Madison, Wisconsin. I know he's going to be into that game with Wisconsin this weekend. 226 points, man.
Good Lord, have mercy.
Over Monsters of the Midway, 83.50. In first place,
God,
Andre, how you going to pay for that fine?
Straight cash, homie.
I'm a co-host, straight cash homie, 10-2 in first place in that league thus far.
Yep.
League number 2, Boxcar Willie, 0-2, from New Orleans with a 145.66 win over yours truly, Purple and Gold. And also Boxcar Willie, 0-2, is in first place in that league as well. League number 3, the biggest win of the week, my other co-host, Ohio Players.
Yes, sir.
179.84 over Irvin's team, 87.2. Ohio Players also in first place at 11-1. In fantasy basketball, biggest win of the week, Ronald from New Orleans, Saints Pelicans 23 with a shutout over my co-host Andre, triple-double, 8-0. And yours truly is in first place, the Orleans Buck Jumpers at 30-10.
Ask him for second place.
We'll talk about second place, man.
Hey, I know. I'm a toot my own horn, though. You just overtook me this week. I was in first place for a couple weeks.
JQ's team, Ohio Players, so you all know he is in second place in fantasy basketball. He's in a tight battle this week, though, so far.
Damn straight.
I love it.
I'm sorry.
get your recognition.
He got me this
ahead,
week,
Rob.
Man. I've been in first place for like 3 weeks. We had a call, and now he overtake me the week
before. He was waiting.
Don't you hate
that,
man? You do well. You don't have a show to John Hall, right?
You're right.
you got 50 seconds, Rob, except for the OT portion.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on next week on Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. We're in the heart of the playoff run in the NFL, and we believe if Navy doesn't throw a monkey wrench into these bowl sessions, we'll have some updates for the bowls for you on next week as well.
Right.
So definitely tune in on next Tuesday night. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. We can't give you this portion live. We still got more sports to talk. Click on the same link on tomorrow. We got more NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA. You definitely don't want to miss it. Tune in, people. Good night.
Thank you.
Go Bucks. Go Bucks.
Yes, the sir. Milwaukee Bucks.
You know, yeah, they. I know what the deal is. I ain't got to say it.
For the Tampa, no, we don't want to root for the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Somebody's like, yeah, I'm Tampa Bay. No.
Actually, I do. I got a gang of Bucks against all my fantasy teams. I need the Bucks to play high. No Tampa Bucks, too.
Oh, man. Oh,
you mean tell me you don't have the Greek Freak from Milwaukee on your team?
I don't this year, but I had him last year. So you know how I am.
Oh, man.
That's
funny. All right, gentlemen, we're officially the OT portion. It's like herding cats, man.
Sorry.
All right.
Sorry.
So that's okay. No, we're having fun, man. We had 3 weeks, man. We gotta get it all out, man. I missed you guys, man. We can't ever go that long again.
All right.
So we are officially here. Let's talk about some NFL coaches on the hot seat. And you know, I got a couple that I'm thinking of right off the bat. But
you know who's number one,
Rod? Who's number one, JQ?
Yeah, we don't even have to go to JQ.
Come on.
We know.
Yeah, that's right. You already know what the business
Lewis?
Is.
Is it Marvin Lewis?
Ding, ding.
It's
Survey Sanders.
His is personal. His is personal. Like, he might be walking around looking for Marvin and some bars up there in Cincinnati.
That's the real reason why he went to Cincinnati. He was, like, driving up trying to get him a slip. Go ahead, JQ.
Mm-hmm. He trying to get him to choke on a turkey bone last week.
Come on. I ain't gonna try to turkey him out like that, but yeah, he's got to go. My favorite, easy. It's all the underachievers. Gus Bradley, Marvin Lewis, Jeff Fisher, Chuck Pagano, and Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan's owner's hit before the season started. If we don't do this, he's gone. So you got to put him in there. Those are my five. They're just underachieving. And Marvin Lewis and Jeff Fisher have pitchers. I'm convinced that they have hookers or drugs or both with somebody important, and they will never be out of a job. Those two, are, you know, those two especially. But the other three, yeah, they probably are in trouble.
The views of this. Of
I actually
plus,
like
plus,
the
plus
job Rex Ryan is
hold
doing
on,
this
on.
Year with the Bills.
Hold on, Rob.
But his
the
owner already said, if you don't
expressed.
Do this, you're fired.
The views that have been expressed by JQ are all for JQ. Don't cut it whole pot in the show. Just want to throw that out there. First four. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey.
Sorry.
Yes, that's true.
But yeah. I'll get to my five shortly. But, yeah, I think I actually like the job that Buffalo and Rex Ryan has done with the team. I didn't even expect them to had them somewhere competing for second place when we did our show early in the season. But I still think he's done a solid job this year as a coach
it's
of the Bills. I mean, they're in contention.
It's
all I know
he
it's what his
it's
owner said, but.
Right. So if you put your mouth out there like that as the owner, you're going to look crazy if you don't make him, you keep him. So I had to put him on the list because I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah. I just can't see the unless they just lose their last five games of the season. I think Rex Ryan is going to be safe in Buffalo. But number one on my list is Gus Bradley of Jacksonville. I mean, how many years in a row are you going to be in the top five in the draft and you keep getting – star player who you expect to be star players and you're still doing nothing. We thought this team was going to be much better this season. Last season, that offense was explosive toward the end of the season. He had a chance to come back and win that division. They didn't, and we thought they were going to be much better this season. And to me, it's Gus Bradley, number one, hands down. Mm. And number two, I got to go to JQ's boy, Marvin Lewis.
Right.
I mean,
that's going to be 1A, 1B.
He'll get on his feet somewhere else, whether it be a coordinator or another head coaching position. But I think his time has run out in Cincinnati. It's time for them to bring a new face in there and see what they can do to move forward with that organization. John Fox, I know I believe it's only his second season in Chicago. I know his relationship with the general manager, Ryan Pace, is not going as smooth. And you would think with a John Fox coach team, your defense is going to be at least up to par until your offense, of course, comes around, and that hasn't been the case that much. So I know their relationship is a little rocky, so stay tuned for this situation. I think he deserves another year, but we'll see what happens with that. JQ mentioned Jeff Fisher, and, how long? I don't know. He hadn't even taken the Rams to the playoffs yet.
Naked.
At least Marvin
pitchers.
Lewis taking the team to the playoffs.
naked pitchers is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Naked pitchers. Isn't he closing in on, like, the all-time loss mark? He's like four losses away from the all-time loss mark or something crazy, like a record you don't want. He's like four losses away from.
Yeah. And my last one, number five, I don't agree with this one, but based on everything we're hearing, that he is on a hot seat, and it's Todd Bowles with the Jets. I don't think it's Todd Bowles coaching. They just need a quarterback. And and so I think this one is very unfair if the rumors are true. And I don't necessarily agree with this one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Yeah, more than that.
But I thought I was going to go Marvin Lewis. But I'm glad you kept everything good.
But JQ was personal.
Come on, man. There's no other place in the world where you can be 15 years somewhere and never want a playoff game and keep your job except for Cincinnati. I'm just saying that don't happen in Atlanta. That don't happen in New Orleans. That don't happen in Pittsburgh. It don't happen in New England. It don't happen in New York. It don't happen anywhere else but Cincinnati. Come on,
man.
It
happens wherever the Rams are, St. Louis or Los Angeles.
Well, I give you that. And that's why he was also on the list. I'm just saying, it's personal, but if you look at the numbers and you really think about it, you're like, okay, yeah, that happens in no other city except for maybe like Cleveland. Maybe. And not really, because they find people after two.
They can't
years,
win a game, let alone a playoff game.
Well, right. So I'm just saying, you just can't keep your job and not advance, is all I'm saying. Let's just not settle for mediocrity.
I want to give some food for thought, guys. This is my, because, I agree with, obviously Gus Bradley, but I want to talk about a couple of guys we didn't talk about. You want to talk about this now, but what about Mike McCoy? Is he on the hot seat, that seat's kind of warm. Chip Kelly, he's been there for a season, Your boy, Rob, Sean Payton, what about him? Is he kind of on the seat too, man? And what about Bill O'Brien, man? Well, you talk about, some squads that, supposed to do certain things, I'm just kind of like going outside the norm because there's some guys, that you're
That's a good call.
What about Chuck Pagano too. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mike McCoy, I think, is going to at least get one more year. I mean, if you look at this Chargers team, they've been very competitive all season long. I mean, I know they're 5-6. They've had some really good wins here lately. And so I think it's going to come down to how this team performs down the stretch. But I think he gets another year. I think Bill O'Brien, as long as the Texans keep winning the division, I think he'll still be safe for the time being. So I don't think he's on the hot seat. And Sean Payton is definitely safe. He's definitely safe. And so the one thing, as long as the Saints have an elite offense and they continue to have one every year, he's going to be safe. But they've gotten a lot better defensively here in the last 3 to 4 games. But I think he's definitely still safe at this moment as well. And I can't remember the other coach you just mentioned.
That's okay. Don't worry
Dre,
about,
I will
don't
give
worry
you.
About.
I will
okay.
give you. I will give you Bill. I'll give you Bill O'Brien. But I think it is that he has that New England pedigree. They're gonna give him a little bit longer because you look at how Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick blossomed after some other years. It didn't come right away for them to. So they may give him a longer leash. But Sean Payton has a championship, and it's gonna buy him some time. But he's gonna be in trouble because Drew Brees is 38. Yeah. What is Drew?
37 or 38. But
yeah, so
I don't know if there's been a better quarterback in the NFL this season, though, which is, maybe you can put Brady up there. But
So, anyway, Drew Brees is getting ready to retire. What is that offense going to look like when Drew Brees isn't running it? I think that's when you start to see the demise maybe of Sean Payton if he doesn't move on. But as long as Drew Brees is his quarterback, he's good.
Don't think that we forgot about you, Rob, and that, Greg Williams put a bounty gate on Jeff Fisher's career last game because
y'all ran a double reverse on that man the other day. Game out of hand. I was like, come on, New Orleans, man.
That goes to show you how much Sean Payton hates Greg Williams. Who could have saved that play for another game?
Yeah, man, that was dirty. I said, come on, New Orleans. Yeah, that's dirty.
They were trying to bury him. Can we score 3 points every time? Let's go for 3. Oh, we can't go for 3. Go for 2. They want us to keep them. That's pretty bad. All right.
Yeah.
Boy, I know that was the most points and the most yardage of Greg Williams' defense
Greg Williams.
Has ever given up in his coaching career.
Y'all was out the blood that game. I saw that, and I said, oh, my goodness.
That was a comeback. That was a comeback, boy. They were waiting. All right, let's get this
started.
We're having too much fun here. Yeah. All right, let's get to these NFL predictions. We've got about 4 minutes left here. Really quickly, let's go to these. Dallas at Minnesota, Rob.
I like Dallas. Minnesota's struggling right now, and Dallas is still red hot. I like for them to go on the road, control the game, control the clock. They'll win this game on the road.
JQ. Offensive line MVP. Offensive line MVP, they control the clock, exactly what he just said. Don't put Dak in high-pressure situations, run behind Zeke, and Alfred Morris, and then hit Witten and Beasley. They win a close one in Minnesota.
Kansas City at Atlanta, JQ.
Oh, yeah, I got to go with the Falcons. I think they just are too explosive. I think it's a close game. You know, Kansas City doesn't get a lot of respect out there in the AFC West, and they're right there in the mix between Oakland and Denver. But I still think Atlanta finds a way to win that game. It's going to be a high-scoring game, as all of Atlanta games seem to be. But I feel like Atlanta finds a way.
Rob Ford.
I agree. I think the Falcons pull out a close game. The Chiefs team is better than a lot of people think, so I think the game will be close. I'm predicting the Falcons, but I'm saying go Chiefs.
Get out of here. Miami at Baltimore. JQ, not Rob. JQ.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Give me the
duck. You see the hateration.
My goodness. Yeah, I was talking about the duck of a game to go first on. Like, either one of those teams can win the game. I wouldn't be surprised. It's going to be ugly and nasty and not very the best unit on the field of all the six of them. So I'm going to go with Baltimore.
Ryan Tannehill's got the best looking wife, so that's what you got to go with. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, she's smoking though. She's smoking.
Don't hate, congratulate.
Yeah, she's smoking now. I gave him that.
Yep.
Oh man, well I agree. I think this game is an intriguing matchup too. Miami is red hot right now too, but I think the Ravens pull this one out in a close one.
And I think the coach is in the hot seat, too, but that's a whole other conversation, too, but for the Dolphins. Mm. But we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. He's kind of up and down. Buffalo at Oakland. This is a pretty intriguing matchup. This is going to be a good game. So what are your thoughts about this one, Rob?
I like Oakland. I mean, they're doing everything they need to do to win games. And Jack Del Rio is pushing all the right buttons. And Derek Carr, this guy's got an extremely bright future. I think he's on pace to be one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. And he's already that, but I think you're looking at a guy who's going to be a regular top five QB in the league pretty soon.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Buffalo is too one-dimensional with the run. Sammy Watkins didn't practice today because he said his foot was sore, and we knew he would be limited. But having a sore foot and not be able to practice at all, I think maybe a little bit of a setback. And if they can't get him to stretch the field, I don't think they can match points with Oakland. I take Oakland by 10.
But Percy Harvin's come back from retirement. I'm just sorry.
You stop that.
You're going to wake up after that, too.
The Giants at Pittsburgh, I kind of have an idea where JQ's going with this one.
Oh, no. Because Eli is going to throw at least 2 fourth-quarter interceptions. They're not going to go into Pittsburgh and beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh wins the shootout. I think it's like 34-31. I think Pittsburgh wins. Still go at the end.
Antonio Brown's going nuts, too. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Yep.
I like Pittsburgh in this game, too. I think you're going to see them going, now that they're getting somewhat healthy, I think they're going to stretch here down a stretch. I mean, a run down a stretch. I think they're going to go on a run here down a stretch. I think they win that division, and I think they beat the Giants. And the Giants, of course, they have a very good record, but, some of their wins have not been pretty,
like
in my opinion, this year. And I really like the Steelers in this game at home.
Mm-hmm.
Good call. All right, gentlemen, we have really elapsed the time, so literally got 2 minutes here. So go ahead and wrap up the show. And I missed you guys, but go ahead, Rob.
Talking sports with a 12th man. We back in full effect, people. You don't want to miss it. Next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha. That's going to be 5 p.m. for you all. Obviously, we got a lot of NFL. We believe we're going to have some college football updates for you on next Tuesday night, so you don't want to miss it. We'll have a lot to cover on next week.
Absolutely. I missed you too, man. We can't go that long without doing a call. Appreciate all of y'all for dialing in.
A lot of brotherly love on the show tonight.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm going to end it with an OH and the Go Bucks. Just praying that we get into the playoffs.
Milwaukee Bucks.
H-I-O.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. Somebody's like, the Tampa Bay. No, not Tampa Bay. No, we ain't doing
no,
that.
No, we never be.
That's a new caller to the podcast. That's a new caller and subscriber to the podcast. Anybody that knows what I've been talking about is full on knowing this OHIO. Go Bucks.
Well, you know, Jameis Winston is pretty happy to hear you say that, so we'll carry on from that.
Hey,
too.
Man, I got him on.
All right, gentlemen.
I got him on multiple fantasy teams. You go, you Tampa Bay, y'all do y'all damn thing too. Appreciate y'all. Hit Mike Evans often as you possibly can. Go for it.
Especially
go
Tampa Bay. You need y'all to lose this week, whoever y'all playing. I ain't know you're playing.
They're playing San Diego.
We'll see you next week. Yeah, San Diego.
All right, Mike McCoy, keep your job, man. Beat the Bucks.
Yeah. Hey, put that Tupac on. Keep your head up, player.
Go my goodness. JQ got it all in. That's how we do it. It's like herding cats. Miss you, American. Once again, thank you, guys. See you same time, same channel next week. Your boy's out, man. Gentlemen, till the next time, keep it going. We'll talk about some NBA and some other baseball news as well. So we'll keep it going, guys. Gentlemen, man, Blog Talk, it says it's like 11:45. They kind of give me a little extra time. I'm not sure what to think about.
Yeah,
man,
hey.
But,
go on, get your Dave Chappelle on. Get your monologue on, you know.
Hold on. Let me check this out. I think I got like a little extra time because literally it's at 11:46 and they're letting this go. What? Okay. All right.
Hey,
wow.
Free air
okay.
time.
Hey,
let's keep this
moving
here.
That's that premium package.
Clearly, because I thought she was going to cut me off, but she ain't cut me off yet. Can I talk about the Pirates and Andrew McCutchen? I'm not quite sure what to go here, but let's keep moving here.
Yeah, we might as well finish
we got
it off.
Time. All right, let's keep it going here. What about? Okay, let's go. Let's give me extra time, fellas. I'm not sure what's happening here. Go ahead, freaking Blog Talk. Rob, what's happening with this? What's going on with this, man?
Well, I mean, obviously you got a player who was a former MVP in the league, had a down year, his offensive numbers were down, defensively struggled this past season. So obviously the Pirates are testing the waters to see what they can possibly get in return for him. And, you know, still somewhat surprising that they're ready to move on after one down season, but they're definitely shopping around. I hear the Washington Nationals have expressed some interest, and so waiting to see what other teams may try to get in the bidding war with the Pirates.
And, you know, real quiet, like, I'm sorry, I'll come back to it. I think with this now we get an hour. So the homie to it, but I'm pretty sure it's an hour now. Agreed, and the thing about it for McCutchen is that he has 14.5, I think, this year and 14 the following year, or vice versa. So for McCutchen, for 2 years of control at $14 million is not bad for a contender, but it's the same problem that Cincinnati runs into when they locked up Bottle. They don't have a lot of money, so they're talking about trading Billy Hamilton and anybody else that you can give some parts for. So Pittsburgh falls also into that same kind of lexicon of, with 2 years left, we got to start the rumor mill going of we might trade him. Can we get the best package? Once we get the best package, then we go ahead and pull the trigger on that if you feel like he's ready to move on and go to a bigger market. And he's been great for the Pittsburgh community. Of course, everybody knows how I feel about Pittsburgh, even though I'm a Penguins fan. But the Pirates and the Steelers I can do without. But if you know you can't re-sign him and he's got a team-friendly contract, you got to gauge to see what's out there for him when you try to replenish that farm system. So it's just the small market dilemma that they all go through, that when it gets to that part of the contract, they have to at least explore it to put that out there, that if we can't sign him, we can at least get something for him that can benefit us 5 years down the road.
Definitely in baseball, yep.
Gotcha. Gentlemen, I think I agree with you, JQ. I'm not quite sure what Blog Talk, they're trying to like just throw some wrenches in the works here, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's an hour.
We got an hour here. Yeah, that's it. That's an extra 30 minutes to talk. Hey, we can fit it all in. All right, this is exciting times. Cespedes, what, he gets a new contract from the Mets? He promises, Rob, to deliver a championship. What? That can get him in trouble, but is this a bold move, Rob, or is he kind of over his head? Or what's the French
Kyle.
Toast, man?
Well, hey, I mean, if you're going to play the game, why not believe you're going to win the championship? I mean, so I don't have a problem with it.
Oh, man.
And, I mean, this was a team we thought were going to be a strong contender this past season. And so, I mean, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But why play the game if you don't believe you're not going to win the championship?
Yeah, you're looking with that, man. Yeah, I'm sorry. A little dodgeball for y'all. So that was awesome. Agreed, Rob. And the thing about it is you're watching all these other cities make it to try to end their curse. Cleveland was making attention to end their curse. Chicago did end their curse. Not that the Mets have that long of a curse, but you figure with that rotation, if you get three runs a game, you might win, 92 games if that rotation comes back healthy. So if it's Texas, you got to feel like that we have a shot. And if you look at the East, there's not a lot of big bopper ball clubs in that division. Miami, I think, has a really good lineup, but they also talk about trading Ozuna and a couple other guys, and Hechuria, I think, as well, off that roster.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at your division of if we're strong pitching-wise, and if I come back and play how I can play, and Bruce is talking about being dealt, but you got Granderson and Conforto as well, and a couple other guys. You feel like if we can get 3 to 5 runs a game with the pitching we have as good a shot as anybody to at least try to rival the Cubs in the playoffs. So if I'm obsessed with this, I would feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fair enough.
Going back to our predictions last year, I think we both had the Mets and the Cubs in the National League Championship Series.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good call.
And I think they can
all
get
right,
back to that.
We really have 9 minutes to go, seriously, on this time. So let's wrap it up strong. And this is a great topic, too, Rob. Appreciate you bringing it up. Porzingis here. He is reshaping the Knicks by elevating his game, so he'll get traded. No, I'm just joking. That's what happens if Carmelo's not happy. But what are your thoughts about this? I'm just saying, sometimes it's out there. What are your thoughts about this, Rob? Stay tuned, Jake. I'll let you end it with that. I'm just saying.
Well, I think when you look at the coaching staff of the New York Knicks and the front office, I think they've come to the realization, hey, this is the guy we got to build our team going forward with. I know we got Rose, I know we have Noel, we have Carmelo, and right now those guys are just stop gaps at the moment. But going forward, they got to find pieces for this team to grow around Porzingis, and I think that's what the front office has realized. He's that piece. He's that guy that could be that player for them going forward. Obviously, even with those pieces that they've acquired this offseason, they're still on their 8-9 so far this season. As the season ended today, they would not be in the playoffs. I mean, you went out and made those investments for those guys, and you still, as of now, I mean, obviously it's too early. They're not a playoff basketball team yet. So I think they're starting to realize here they got to find some younger pieces to go with Porzingis and grow this team for the future.
Agreed. And I think they're coming to realization. They're going to come to the realization during this year, to all the points that Rob just made, that you add a Rose and you add a Noah, but those guys are definitely stopgaps. And then they haven't really exploited the talks with Rose as of yet. It's kind of a prove-it kind of year for him for the extension. So if I'm New York, I'm going to stand pat and see what they do. And I think you're getting to the point in Carmelo's career where he may be more than likely to give up that la-la living in New York for this, that, and the other kind of piece. For him, basketball-wise, goes away to try to get a ring. And he may be the latest piece of the superstar trying to join a super team to get a ring. I don't know which team it's going to be, but I feel like it's coming for him. I don't think they're going to re-sign Derrick Rose. So if you look at that piece of it, if you try to trade those two and amongst these to get some of those takes back and build around Porzingis, I think it's a one step backward, two steps forward kind of move that they're going to find out towards – Maybe not this year, but as it doesn't pan out how they thought it would have panned out this year, since they assembled the dream team from like 2011, that they have to go around Porzingis and get as much as they can. I think Noah has a 4-year contract. I think Rose has another year after this year at most. So you try to move them and get something for them and put them around Porzingis and move forward. I think that's going to be their best plan because they just aren't equipped to beat Cleveland for sure, and if you want to talk about it, I don't think they can really beat Toronto. I don't think they can beat Boston. There's some other teams in the Eastern Conference that they got to climb over just to get to the Cavaliers. So and I think they're going to come to that realization that it's time to blow it up in conjunction with the fact that I think that Carmelo Anthony is going to finally say, okay, let me go get a ring with some of my homeboys and play, whether it's, they do something with Kevin Love or they do something to get him out to L.A. with Chris Paul. I think he finally relents and goes down that train of thought of, I got to get a ring before it's over.
Gotcha. I'm going to tell you this real quickly. There's not much to add to those points, but I was re-looking something whenever I was checking some numbers here, especially when regarding the Knicks here and Derrick Rose and whatnot. 2008 draft, you had the following players: Derrick Rose, Michael Beasley, O.J. Mayo, Russell Westbrook, excuse me, and Kevin Love.
Mm.
Those are your top five picks, and that's amazing to think about. You know what? You know, Russell was kind of a fourth round pick, or he was a fourth pick selected, man. You know, so I'm sure if you are, you know, can you imagine with, you know, Westbrook playing with the Heat, or, you know, even with the Timberwolves, something crazy like that too, man. So just goes to show you how that draft was. You know, we think that Derrick Rose was obviously, he was the number one consensus player, man, but it's just crazy to think that Russell Westbrook was the number fourth pick, man. So, you know, Rob, you remember a player named, you remember a player named Joe Alexander? You remember him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't even think he's in the league anymore, is he? That was the number eight pick, man. Over Brooke Lopez.
Hey, wait, go
and
back
Hitler
to
and Robert Lopez. Go ahead.
How about me?
What about Adam Morrison, another
out.
Guy that was picked high from Gonzaga and not in the league anymore? And so, yeah, we got a few of those guys. But I tell you what, speaking of Russell Westbrook, man. I know he's not on a championship team, but what he and James Harden and Anthony Davis, the three of those guys, are doing so far this season is unreal.
I just want to say, how about the Joe Alexander call with no computer or no notes in front of me? Could I have a little love for calling West Virginia out just off of the
tone? Mm-hmm.
I'm a full-blown junkie. That's why.
That's impressive. Yeah, because that was pretty good. Because I had it pulled up, and I was like, man, I didn't even realize you're gonna get the college here. But you look at some of the players that were happy. I mean, that was a pretty good draft. But you know, I'm looking at some. There's still some players in the league. You know, Serge Ibaka was later on 24th, and Nicholas Batum, George Hill. You know, there's some players that you're still thinking, man, they're in the league right now, like DeAndre Jordan, Chambers. DeAndre Jordan was like second round, 35th pick, man.
Yeah.
Sheik. I mean, there's some players you're like, wow, you know.
You gotta do your homework.
But think
man.
About it. The fourth and fifth pick were the best picks in that draft, and they went fourth and fifth. I mean, that's how you
both
know
from UCLA.
How ridiculous the draft is. Yeah, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, UCLA. Yeah, Bruin, stand up.
Yeah,
that's not
stand up. Brooke and Robin left too, but you know, they're still in the league and stuff like that too. But you know, there's some, you know, Jared Blair. There's still some, you know, players that you still have to. You know, in space and you know, Hibbert and McGee, excuse me. But, you know,
he's only in the league by name.
And that's where your successful organizations come in. Can you find these hidden gems in the late rounds?
Right.
I mean, I look at the Spurs. When you look at where they got Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, two guys. Well, Tony Parker was a late first-round pick. Manu Ginobili was a late second-round pick, and these guys were key contributors on some championship teams. And they got a kid now. I can't remember his name, but it comes off the bench. I'm like, where did they get this guy from?
I know you're talking about.
Simmons. That's him.
Yeah,
I'm like, where did he get him from? Mm-hmm. Junior college guy. How do they mean? So those are the successful organizations. Then you look at the makeup of the Warriors. Yes, they did go out and sign Durant. And they did get Curry and Thompson in the first round, but you got Draymond Green in the second. So, Ezeli, I think, even though he's not with them anymore, is another late-round guy too. So those are your successful organizations are the ones that can find these hidden gems in the later rounds. Yeah.
And you trade for Bogut. Yeah, you totally agree. Yeah, it's amazing the crapshoot that it is. If you look at Curry's draft class, and he was the third point guard taken in that class.
Mm-hmm.
And look what he's doing. Like, I mean, he went high, but he was the third point guard taken. Minnesota, Lord have mercy, with Flynn and Rubio. Like, it's just – it's a crapshoot. But, again, you gotta do your homework, like you said. One time for Blog Talk for this hour, I just want to say that. I have missed you guys, and I am enjoying it.
Yes.
Yeah, good call.
Back in full effect.
We got a minute, so good night, folks. Anything you really got to say, you got to say it now in, like, 30 seconds, Rob.
Good night, people. Just as a reminder, next Tuesday night, you don't want to miss us. We'll be back on, I guess, for a whole hour, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Definitely tune in.
JQ?
Absolutely. Love y'all. I'll see you next week. Love you, Blog Talk. Don't cut me off.
We don't know how to act, boy. We got an extra 15 minutes.
Yeah,
no,
right.
That's true. I love it.
Hey guys,
I love it a lot.
It's keep it all going, man. It's giving the, no. I'm kind of scared, but I'm kind of like interested to see how it's going to let us do this because we literally have a lot of timers. So we'll figure out the best option about this too. But we'll see you same time, same channel next week. And I think because we are paying them, Jokers are letting this kind of like go over. But we'll figure this out.
Yeah.
And it's not going to let us cut off. So
I'm
kind of shocked. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens next week for sure. We don't have to go the extra 30 minutes, but at least we know we got a little extra time here for sure. But, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.
Hey, I will.
We'll see you guys.
I'll talk to Rob about LSU because I know what he said. But I know that that report came out about Jimbo Fisher turning down 6.8 to go to LSU to stay at Florida State. You really wanted Jimbo Fisher, though. Just be honest with me. You wanted Jimbo Fisher, didn't you?
Did I want Jimbo Fisher?
Yes, you.
Oh, I mean, you know, if we would have got him, if we would have got Jimbo Fisher, I would not have had a problem with that. But I still don't have a problem with Orgeron either. Like I said, you're getting a guy who's going to be happy in that position. You don't have to worry about, if he's successful. And, he's going to need coordinators. So there's no doubt about that. And, we'll see what happens with Lane Kiffin. And he's going to get a good offensive coordinator. And if Lane Kiffin doesn't get a head coaching job, it will be Kiffin. And Dave Aranda quietly. I mean, LSU's defense was, except for the Texas A&M game this season. I mean, we would play 11 games and only gave up 10 touchdowns the whole season. Quietly, defensively, they were very strong. So. They just got they were a lot better once they got fired. Once they fired Les Miles, so but now you got to get on the recruiting trails and you got to fight your way with old Sweet Nicky in Alabama.
So I'm sorry. So because I'm just into it. We haven't talked for some couple weeks. So can I ask? Like I need two follow up questions, Dre. I need two. Y'all we good with two of them?
Yeah.
Okay, so. Outside of that, the second one is a follow-up to the first one. Which one would you have rather had of the three? Tom Herman, Ed Orgeron, or Jimbo Fisher?
Well, I didn't want Tom Herman. I'll at least say that.
You did not?
So, I did not want Tom Herman. I did not.
Okay.
I did not want Tom Herman. So Jimbo Fisher was like a 1A and maybe Orgeron a 1B. So those are the two guys. Those are the two guys for me. Yeah, I did not want Tom Herman.
Charlie Strong was 1C.
No, I didn't want Charlie Strong either. The only way I would have wanted Charlie Strong is if Dave Aranda would have got a head coaching job, and maybe we could have brought Strong as a DC. But no, I did not want Tom Herman because. I'm still not sold on what his philosophy would be from a defensive standpoint, what he's going to do with that side of the ball. So I wasn't too sold on Tom Herman. I think the thing that Ed Orgeron has going for him, he's going to definitely get out. He's going to get some good coordinators, and it's going to allow him to be more of a CEO as a head coach. Jimbo Fisher is going to call his own plays as a head coach, and he's very good at it. I mean, Jimbo Fisher developed four NFL first-round draft picks, and they all turned out to be busts, but he did develop in a minute first-round draft picks.
No.
Jamarcus Russell. Well, James
Rob
Winston did not turn out to be a bust. So I think
on that lane, baby, on that lane.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jamarcus Russell turned out to be a bust. He developed Winston, of course, which is playing well right now. And what's the kid that went to Buffalo? I'm not even sure if he's in the league right now.
EJ Manuel?
The first round pick a few years back, 16th overall. What's his name?
EJ Manuel. Florida State?
Yeah. I know he's developed four first round picks in the last 8 to 10 years, and the only one that's turning out to do something is Winston. But that's not on Jimbo Fisher. I mean, I put that more on the players. I mean, he got those guys to that point. And so the thing you get with Jimbo Fisher, you know you're getting the guy who can develop quarterbacks.
I got to say, Rob, that's what you need at LSU, though. That's what I'm saying. That's what you need. Always need a quarterback. If you guys had a quarterback, you guys would be, like, freaking,
dangerous.
You know, Alabama part two. Yeah, so that's the one piece that you've got everything else. Freaking Leonard Fournette. I mean, you can get running backs. You can get defense. You get a quarterback. And that's
if we got rid of Les Miles.
Yeah.
We're gonna be
okay. Perfect.
We're gonna be all right.
Perfect. You're hoping that Lane Kiffin can come in there. Yeah,
we're getting
rid of
3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Perfect segue, because that was my third question, and I want credit for my second one. The EJ Manuel, the Buffalo, no computer, just off the top of the head. So, third question: where do you think Les Miles ends up? Because he's coaching somewhere in that area.
Right now, it looks like he's going to take Tom Herman's place in Houston is where it looks like it's heading.
Okay.
And so we'll see. You know, it looks like Baylor is more leaning toward Chad Morris right now from SMU. I thought Purdue was going to be an option for him, go in, you know, go to the Big Ten, play 3 yards in a cloud of dust out of football, high formation, what he likes to do. And right now it's leaning more toward Houston.
So would you think? And this is to both of y'all. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Get yours off. I've asked like five in a row.
No, you got it. You're on the roll. Go ahead, JP.
So I was going to ask as a follow up to that one, because this is one that just came to me. If LSU could talk Phil Knight into, I can coach the defense and I have coordinator X to come with me. Do you think Les Miles would be a good coach at Oregon if he had a good offensive coordinator that he could sell Phil Knight on? Because it's about Phil Knight.
Well,
let's just not.
I'm just going to say this about Les Miles. LSU gave him another chance this season. And they gave him another chance. I mean, he could have really got fired at the end of last season. They gave him another chance to open up that offense. Another chance. And they started off the season doing the exact same thing. So my thing, if you're Oregon, you're used to an open offense, I wouldn't touch Les Miles. I mean, he's going to be stubborn. Mm-hmm. He's going to want to do what he wants to do. He's going to want to run that 3 yards in the cloud of dust. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know how much LSU football y'all have seen, but after Les Miles got fired, I'm not going to say it was great, but the offense was opened up a lot more. They ran more spread. They spread it out. They threw the ball. I mean, Danny Etling in his last game threw for over 300-some yards. When last time you've seen the LSU quarterback do that since Zach Mettenberger? I mean,
that's why I said it's on the offensive coordinator. That's why I said. That's why I made the caveat that they have to have already negotiated with the offensive coordinator and got his contract to come in with Les Miles and to sign them both on the same day. Because agreed, his offense sucks. That's what I'm saying. It has to be somebody that he says, it's me and this dude that's coming. And you never know. Money talks. So it may be offensive coordinator that's way off our radar. That Les Miles said, hey, you can go get this Nike money in Oregon. Are you in? And that dude says, yes. So agree.
Well, here's another thing.
Les Miles.
Another rumor that I did hear that if Les Miles went to Purdue, that he was going to try to get Steve Sarkisian to be his offensive coordinator.
Ooh.
Now, if he could have did that, that could have been a good get for Les Miles. But the question is.
Hey, now listen, that's Oregon, too. They could do that in Oregon. Oregon might close that deal.
Here's what I will say about Les Miles. I think Les Miles is an extremely great individual. He's a great guy. And, I mean, that I will say. But, I mean, his brand of football is just has passed him by, in my opinion.
That's a good get, though. I'm sorry, Jay. That's a good get, though. If you tell Oregon they can get Les Miles, their head coach, the Steve Sarkisian, it's basically Lane Kiffin 2.0, right? So if you tell them I can get Les Miles and Steve Sarkisian as the offensive coordinator, I think Oregon jumps on that deal. That's a good call there, Rob. I give you credit for that one. That's a good call. That package deal for Oregon, for all the things we talked about in the beginning of the show, I think Oregon jumps on that deal. And I think they would really make the Pac-12 sit up and take notice, like, okay, those dudes might be a problem.
But if I'm Oregon, why hire Les Miles? Why not just make Sarkisian the head coach?
I don't think he's ready yet, the same way you couldn't do it for Lane Kiffin. I think you can still do it for Les Miles, because if you look at it, his record at LSU is still pretty freaking good. I understand what you're saying as an LSU fan, but if you take that out of the context of it and look at his record, what he did at LSU in the SEC West with Nick Saban, and you're Oregon, and you fire, you know, Heffery, and you're like, wait, what can we do? Oh, we can get these together as a package deal and make a splash in the Pac-12. I think Oregon does that deal every day and twice on Sunday. And I think we would all applaud it. Like, that's a good deal for Oregon. That's a great deal for Oregon.
Yeah, I still think the first guy they're going to get on the phone with is Chip Kelly. And they're going to gauge his interest and see if he can come back and rekindle some of the magic he had. Obviously they can see things are not going well for him in San Francisco. It didn't go well for him in Philly. Hey, you want to come back to college and make a lot of money? Hey, you'll be guaranteed to at least win 8-9 games. I still think that's the first phone call that they're going to make. It's at least gauge. I know Chip Kelly is denying it, but that's what coaches do right now. That's what they have to do. But, you know, I think that's the first phone call they make to see what can they do to rekindle that magic. So I still think he's the first phone call.
This is how
the they're going to go with offensive guy. That's Oregon. That's what they're going to do. They're not going to hire a guy like Les Miles. They're going to look for a guy that's going to bring – Oregon is not going to hire Les Miles. They're going to hire a guy with some offensive style.
That's not true. If he brings somebody as his offensive coordinator that has that kind of billing with him, like a Sarkisian, I think Sarkisian is Lane Kiffin 2.0. I really do.
Well, Purdue might make that move, hire Les Miles, and you bring Sarkisian. But Oregon's head coach is going to be an offensive guy.
Watch.
Trust me.
Okay. It's not Les Miles by himself. It's Les Miles with an offensive guru. So don't let me get twisted. I'm talking about Les Miles just on Les Miles. But Les Miles still has a solid record behind him. If he brings in and says, you know what, I was tripping at LSU, that should stop working towards the end. So I'm going to bring in Coach X that runs this wild offense that's going to get him excited. But I'm going to bring my coaching SEC pedigree with me. He can get that job at Oregon with the right OC. I think he can.
Purdue,
not on
Houston, Baylor, yes. Oregon, no.
We'll find out. I'm not saying he's going to go there, but the right combination of him and the OC, I think Oregon jumps on it to make a splash. What bigger splash is Steve Sarkisian and Les Miles in the Pac-12 right now for them?
Mm-hmm.
This is how the phone call is going to go from Oregon. Hey, hello, is it Chip Kelly? Would you like to? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if Chip Kelly wants to go back, I mean, it's his job.
Yes, he's the first phone call. Don't get me wrong. He's the first phone call. But I think the second phone call would be sneaky to Les Miles of, listen, we like what you can do as a CEO, like a Bobby Bowden kind of type CEO, but you and maybe a little tinkering on the defense. But if you bring in a guy that we all look and say, wow, he got him to be his OC, to come in and keep this high-flying offensive juggernaut that we are used to at Oregon going, I think that's a good backup plan if you're Oregon for all the reasons we talked about that they don't have a national recruiting base. You bring those two guys in together or some kind of combination thereof to get recruits excited that maybe three or four stars that are in another recruiting talent base were like, you know what, those guys, they got a lot of Nike money. I like Nike. I've been wearing Air Maxes since I was 7. You know what I mean? Like, I love Nike. I'm going to go there, and they're going to use me the right way, the way I feel. That's a lot of pull to happen there. So it's got to be the right combination is all I'm saying. But I'm not just going to discount him because of his shortcomings at LSU. He's got to have the right OC. But with the right OC, I think that's a good move for Oregon.
Yeah. And the Steve Sarkisian thing is going to be a trickle-down effect with Lane Kiffin. You know, Sarkisian is going to wait and see what happens with Kiffin. Because if Kiffin doesn't go to LSU, Sarkisian is probably going to go to LSU. And because all of those guys work together at USC, Ed Orgeron, all those guys work together. So, I mean, I think Sarkisian is going to wait and see what happens with Kiffin. He's that next guy.
Agreed.
This is the last question because we're going to wrap this up. Brian Kelly, what's happened to him in Notre Dame? Is he going to be around? Is he getting fired? What's the deal? What's the deal?
I hope so.
I think he's going to – I think it's really up to Brian Kelly. If he wants to stay, I think Notre Dame is going to keep him. So I think it's going to be his decision. Yeah, I know there's some talk about him leaving on his own, but I think it's going to be his decision.
Yep. I'm going to tell you like this. Brian Kelly was just coaching up in Michigan in the MAC conference and then going to Cincinnati and just recruiting all kind of levels of whoever. Because, again, Cincinnati is a bad school, but it's not the academic standard that Notre Dame is. Going to coach in Notre Dame, you have to have kind of a mindset and a recruiting background in places where you can get somebody that can fit that also on the field and academic standard. And it's hard. Notre Dame is a tough school. That's why Vanderbilt struggles more often than not. That's why Stanford struggles more often than not. That's why Duke struggles more often than not. Like, yeah, they have a football team, but they have a higher standard of academic excellence that you have to meet in order to even be in the university, and they generally don't play about that. Like, we'll get rid of you. We'll stand on our academics, and when our football team is good, we'll support it and go rah, rah, rah. But we're not going to sacrifice our academics for our football team. So for those kind of schools, and yes, you know about it going into it, but maybe getting that close to it now for Brian Kelly, given where he's been, it might be where he's looking at it in terms of I can move on and before my name gets too wrecked going with this. Because if you look at it, Notre Dame was pretty high going into there, but then into the season. But then they had the traffic accident where our arrest, where they got caught with the guns and the weed and the other stuff, and they kicked two other dudes off the team after that. So that really affected the team because that wasn't the bottom 80, 80 through 85 on the team. That was like the 1 versus 20 kind of guys on the team that you were looking to make an impact on the team in the season moving forward. So he may look at that and say, what if Oregon calls me? I might, Notre Dame is looked at as a great job, but if I'm my recruiting background is in this state and these parts and that generally doesn't meet the Notre Dame kind of criteria, I might move somewhere else where it's not as stringent, where it will meet that other school's criteria. So I agree. Notre Dame may not be long for Brian Kelly on his own court. I think he's got a glimpse of it, especially after what happened this year. He was like, this might not be the place for me.
And I think the thing you got to realize, too, or not realize, but remember about Brian Kelly, this was a few years ago, NFL teams were calling him. And now nobody's calling him based on the season that they just had. So, I mean, just a few years ago, NFL teams were trying to recruit to him to come to the NFL and be a head football coach. And so that's something he's got to think about personally. Do I stay at Notre Dame or do I put in my hat at another major university where it's going to be a little easier for me to win? You know, maybe he even gets in that Oregon conversation.
Yeah, true.
Nice.
I doubt
all
it,
right,
but you never know.
It's been awesome. I mean, you guys want to keep going, man. I'm just going to, kind of sit back here. But, man.
I'm sorry, Dre.
Blog Talk?
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just tripping out on Blog Talk, man, because I'm thinking we're going to get cut off at any moment. Them jokers are letting us do our thing, man. I'm like, what? So, but anyway.
So,
a lot of love.
Was that a first down by JT Barrett this past weekend?
Yes.
JQ can't answer this question. I'm going to let Andre answer it.
We know that
JQ
one.
Is going to give
we
you the answer from his heart.
It's controversial. That's the first down.
It's barely a first down. It's barely a first down. But you know what? I will give you this. I will give you this. If they had ruled that play not a first down the field and went to instant replay, they would not have overturned it. Whatever ruling they gave on the field is what was going to stand. So I will give you that. But I still feel like it was barely by the laces of the football. It wasn't that much more.
I'll be honest. I didn't think he got it. His body, his legs crossed it, but the ball never did. Let me just say this, though. I'll never blame a win-loss. Yeah, you'll never hear me blame a win-loss on our officials. So, there are a lot of things that could have happened throughout that ball game that Michigan could have won on their own without having to rely on that stop at the end of the game. So I'm not blaming the loss for Michigan on that call. So, yeah, you'll never hear me say a game was won or lost by an official.
You've heard me get on here and talk about my teams and have me be irate when I thought they didn't do what they were supposed to do, and I would say, hey, you know what? They didn't do what they were supposed to do. Honest to goodness, no BS. I feel like he did get the first down. I would tell you if I thought that he didn't get, I would say, man, that was a ridiculous call. Why didn't you run this? You know, if I felt like they didn't get the first down, or you got to block better. You can go back to the tape. I talk about my teams, and I try to be objective. But I mean, I get upset when they don't perform well. But I call them out on not performing well. They played horrible for three quarters in that game. They did. It was awful to watch. And my dad is from Alabama. He went to UC, so he loves Cincinnati, but he hates Ohio State, and he loves Alabama. So I was watching that game with him, and he's talking all kind of trash to me for like 3 hours until the fourth quarter starts in that game. Like, I mean, all kind of trash. So I'm going to tell you honestly if it didn't happen. I'm going to say, you know what, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. I've done it when they've lost before, when the Bengals have lost, when the Reds have lost. I honestly felt like he got the first down, but I don't think it should even came to that. They missed two field goals. They just, you know, they went for a fake punt in their own end. Like, they did things to try to lose that game. They got lucky, and I'll admit to it. They got lucky. I'm glad they got lucky against Michigan because, of course, I hate them. But they got lucky. But I think he got the first down in that instance. But it shouldn't even come down to that. So that's what I'm talking about. Agreeing with you, Rob, that it shouldn't even come to that. You know, Michigan had plays to win. Ohio State had plays to win. It shouldn't even came down to that for either side to a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he was talking bad about me during that game. He was talking bad about me.
Well, I still, if you want to give your dad any hope for the University of Cincinnati, I still believe at some point Houston and Cincinnati, the Big 12 is going to take those two schools. I think those are the two schools that they are going to give another strong look at, and so they can finally get up to the big, get up to 12 teams in that conference.
Yeah, but he's a UC grad and he loves them, but at the same time, he's from Mobile. He is staunch Roll Tide. It won't matter. He's still going to. I would be interested.
Man, why are you rooting for the Gumps?
He's from Alabama. It's either Alabama or Auburn from his neck of the woods. So you choose
Dang.
One, and he's with Alabama. So either way it goes, man. Yeah, he's all Roll Tide. He's all Forrest Gump with the 90-degree cuts. Like he's all Alabama through and through.
Wow.
Oh man.
That's been fun. I think we got
a gentleman. It's been fun,
gentlemen. Yeah. Yeah, no, mm-hmm. We're ahead, and maybe we'll go an extra 30 minutes for the next show. We'll see how it plays out, but it's been a pleasure. I miss you guys. We got
Probably
it
not.
All in. Yeah, maybe
I don't think we have to worry about squeezing the topics in no more.
Bro, man,
yeah.
We'll just kind of go
yeah.
What we got, man. Well, mm-hmm. we'll be live for 30 minutes, but everything after that is just kind of us just kind of talking. So if you want to listen to some us just kind of like banter, that'll be
everything.
Fun times for sure. But, yeah, but it's
As
all
they
good.
Say in New Orleans, everything else will be a little lanyap.
Yeah, but
there
this
is
good football talk. Like, I wrote, like, 5 straight LSU questions out to Rob, you know. So, objectivity of one to know across the college football landscape. So, I think the more time is good time. Yeah, you can get us, like, 25 topics now because we can just ride.
Yeah. Well, we got enough, like I said. We can spend more time talking to stuff. I'm thinking we're trying to get through all the topics, and now we're like, I can just take my – well, I mean, we, like I said, everything that's live, we got enough time.
It.
But if we wanted to spend some time, yeah, but it'll be good. It's all good. I'm excited. I was trying to fit it all in there, but it actually worked. So I'm going to take my time saying bye.
Yeah.
Put the topics you want in there, Rob, and anything else you want to expand on, we got some time. But anyway, it's been fun, gentlemen. Be good, I guess. We'll talk. Appreciate
yeah.
the money too, guys. We got it. We'll buy it to the next, and we'll see how long they'll – Hopefully, Block Talk won't throw any special surprises on me for sure. But yeah, we'll keep it going for sure.
Sounds good, fellas.
Yeah,
all right,
fun as always.
See you next week.
Good to talk to y'all.
Yep, what's up?
Okay.
Yes, sir. Be good. Later.
All right. Later.